KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky, 5 degrees above zero, and we look forward to be partly sunny today with some patchy blowing snow around midday, a high around 25. Wind chill values this morning could be as low as 25 degrees below zero. There is a wind chill advisory that remains in effect for a portion of the listening area, including Cass, Audubon, and Adair counties, and Guthrie County until 9 a.m. News is brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, in Atlantic. And in Western Iowa news this morning, the Mills County Sheriff's Office reported yesterday the recent arrest of four individuals. On Wednesday, 35-year-old Brian Douglas Lewis was arrested at around 1:25 a.m. on Highway 34 at the Interstate 29 interchange. Lewis was taken into custody on a warrant charging him with two counts of criminal mischief. His bond was set at $2,000. This past Sunday, 25-year-old Misty Scobie of T, South Dakota was arrested in Mills County at around 7:30 p.m. on I-29 at the 29-mile marker. Scobie was charged with possession of a controlled substance, the bond for which was $1,000. And last Saturday, Mills County deputies arrested 27-year-old Derek Henberg in Pacific Junction on a charge of simple assault, and 40-year-old Michael LaShawn Goodman of Omaha was arrested Saturday on a warrant for failure to have a valid driver's license. Goodman's bond was set at $600, while the bond for Henberg was set at $300. I'll have more news in just a moment.
Mom, how you doing?
No, but I'll start some, honey.
Whoa, where are you going?
To start some tea brewing.
Oh, no, Mom. I asked, how are you doing?
Well, fine, dear, but it's not polite to laugh at someone.
I wasn't. Mom, are you hearing like you used to?
Oh, now nothing works as well as it used to. It's just what happens. Not much I can do about it.
But we can do something. What about getting hearing aids?
That just seems a bit extravagant. Besides, I don't want to be a bother.
It's not a bother. Besides, I feel a lot better if I knew you could hear a fire alarm or the phone. Sometimes I call and you don't answer, and I know you're here.
Well, maybe I just don't want to talk to you.
Not funny, Mom.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. Now, that was a humorous story, but there's nothing funny about missing out on what's going on or what's being said, especially when it's happening to someone you love. Seeking help isn't admitting you're getting old, but misunderstanding and responding inappropriately may give others that impression. So take the first step to reclaiming your enjoyment of life. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Well, the Clarinda Police Department on Thursday released information about an accident in Clarinda that took place Saturday afternoon and causing a total of $18,000 damage. Police Chief Keith Brothers says a car driven by 87-year-old Cleva Job of Newmarket was pulling into a parking stall in front of a clothing store when she mistakenly stepped on the accelerator pedal instead of the brake. Her 2009 Pontiac drove over the curb and hit a concrete decorative flower pot before hitting the front of the store and breaking the glass window. The vehicle then became high-centered on the window ledge. Employees of the store had to tell Job to take her foot off the gas pedal. The accident happened just after noon on Saturday. There were no injuries reported. The car sustained $3,000 damage, while damage to the store was estimated at $15,000. There were no citations issued. An Atlantic woman has announced her candidacy for the Cass County Recorder's job. Mary Ward said in a press release Thursday morning that she will be actively campaigning for the position being left vacant at the end of the year by longtime recorder Joyce Jensen, who announced her retirement from the position on December 23rd. Jensen has served as the Cass County Recorder since 1991. Ward, who grew up in the Adair area and is a graduate of the Adair Casey High School, has served as deputy recorder in Cass County for the past couple of years. In addition to the experience that position has brought her, Ward has a background of more than 18 years in the insurance industry and 5 years of bookkeeping experience. She and her husband, Nathan, have lived in the Atlantic area for the past 20 years. The Cass County Board of Supervisors took care of several administrative matters during their first meeting of the year Thursday in Atlantic. The board elected Frank Waters of Cumberland as chair and Gaylord Schelling of Atlantic as vice chair. Waters succeeds Mark Wiedemeyer for the top post on the board, and Waters announced as chair that he wanted to make some changes in the time that the board normally meets on Wednesdays.
I would like to move these sessions up to 8:30, and the reason being I think that like Dan can get down before
has to go to court.
Like when Chuck has to leave, go to council bus, we'd pretty well be done. Just give them more time, the meeting more time.
Waters had earlier spoken with members of the local media who all agreed the 8:30 start time will be more beneficial to them than a 9 a.m. start. In other business, the Board of Supervisors approved the 2014 Master Matrix, or Livestock Facility Construction Evaluation Resolution, which is unchanged from last year. They also agreed to leave the county assessor, engineer, and GIS offices where they are in the courthouse and to move the 911 Communications Center to the newly purchased building at 707 Poplar Street. Their decision came after 911 Director Rob Coppert reported on the cost of renovating the lower level of the courthouse to make room for an upgraded and expanded 911 center. The cost estimate came following a recent assessment of the lower level from Al Pravandra with Carlson, West, and Pravandra Architects in Omaha.
Updated fee for remodeling downstairs is $191,855.
Combined with the $214,000 cost of remodeling the Cambridge Law Firm building, the county would have been looking at spending in excess of $400,000 for both projects. Instead, the board decided it would be more cost-effective to leave the assessor, engineer, and geographic information system offices in the courthouse where they could also serve the public more effectively. Auditor Dale Sunderman said keeping those offices in the courthouse would also eliminate any potential technical glitches associated with a move into the other building.
If we move over there, we've got IT difficulties because right now Alice and Sherry are working together. If we move them over there, then somebody comes in on a survey, we have to go across the street and back and go around. Where, as far as logistics, it's much better. I think when you couple the expenses together, you're going to have higher expenses anywhere because you're really doing no refurbishing here to leave them where they're at.
The next step is to have an engineering firm look into boring under the street for installation of data and backup power supply lines. It'll still be quite some time before the 911 Communication Center is relocated into the newly acquired building. Officials at the Atlantic FFA chapter reported Thursday that the organization sold a little more than $22,300 worth of fruit, meat, cheese, pickled herring, and other products during their annual fundraiser, which ran from late October through early November. All of the proceeds go toward supporting the local FFA chapter by helping members attend the national and state conventions and in the purchase for FFA jackets for any member that wants one. 40 FFA members sold an average of $558 in products, with the top fruit salesperson being Haley Carlson. She earned $2,018. Callie Clint sold $1,405. Adam Friend, $1,081. Kristen Jonk, $1,014. And Tyler Christensen sold $962 worth of products. Atlantic FFA President Wyatt Sogling said in a press release that he was glad to see we accomplished our goal of more than $20,000. He said he hopes the underclassmen continue to sell more fruit so the chapter will be able to provide funding for upcoming FFA activities. Atlantic FFA advisor Eric Miller said the chapter members exceeded his goal and gives the group a great start for next year. If you do not have or did not have an FFA member contact you this past fall and would like to be added to the list for next year, you can still contact an FFA member or FFA advisor Eric Miller at the Atlantic High School. You can also follow the group on Twitter at www.twitter.com/AtlanticFFA. January is National Blood Donor Month, and the Peterson family of Walnut is among those celebrating blood donors. Following a diagnosis of botryoid rhabdomyosarcoma in September of 2011, young Noah Peterson relied on blood transfusions to sustain him during chemotherapy treatments. The blood transfusions helped to keep Noah's hemoglobin levels stable, and he now enjoys farming, trucks, tractors, and riding four-wheel off-road machines. His parents are Kevin and Carrie Peterson of Walnut. Carrie Peterson said it was such a blessing not to have to worry about Noah when we found out his blood counts were low. The family is thankful to everyone who gives blood, which can be used for a variety of purposes, including therapies prior to chemotherapy. The family hopes Noah's story will encourage people to make a commitment to donate blood. On January 14th, the Elkhorn Community Blood Drive will be dedicated in Noah's honor in hopes of inspiring others to step up and become heroes to patients like Noah. The blood drive will be held from 11:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. again on January 14th at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church Fellowship Hall in Elkhorn. To make an appointment, you can call Ann White at 712-764-5888. And you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org to make an appointment for any other time or for more information. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, major highways are shut down in New York and Pennsylvania, and airlines have been forced to cancel thousands of flights. A winter storm in the Northeast has dumped nearly 2 feet of snow north of Boston and about a foot and a half in parts of western New York near Rochester. Forecasters are warning that strong gusts can make it cold enough to cause frostbite in about 30 minutes or less. There's also a winter storm in Britain. High winds, waves, and tides are lashing Britain's western coast, and seaside towns and low-lying areas are flooded. Wales, southeast England, and northern Ireland are the worst hit by those storms. In Belfast, residents have sandbagged properties, and police are telling people in dockside neighborhoods to be ready to evacuate. Lawyers in federal court in Chicago are expected today to debate U.S. government surveillance programs during oral arguments in a terrorism case. Defense attorneys for teenager Adele Adawad argue that if the government used enhanced surveillance on their client, it violated his civil rights against unreasonable searches. Dawad is accused of trying to ignite an inert bomb outside of a Chicago bar. And Chrysler says its U.S. sales rose 6% last month, a sign that automakers closed 2013 with strong numbers. Chrysler's Jeep brand finished 2013 up 3%, and Jeep sales worldwide set a new record, although other automakers are to report their sales figures today as well. News time is 8:10.
Listen carefully and think what your life would be like if you were constantly faced with
embarrassment, fatigue, irritability, tension and stress, anger, avoidance of social activities,
depression, negativism, danger to personal safety, reduced general health, loneliness, social isolation,
impaired memory, less adaptability to learning new tasks, paranoia, reduced coping skills, and reduced overall psychological health.
So what is it? Heart disease, cancer, or some other serious illness? For many of these diseases, the prognosis may be terminal, but the symptoms you just heard are actually linked to hearing loss. And for that, there is hope, whether the loss is mild or profound. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. Hearing loss doesn't have to be a source of embarrassment or depression or any of the other symptoms you just heard. You can avoid many, if not all of them, by treating your hearing loss with hearing aids. Today's hearing aids offer technology that has given back what so many patients thought they'd lost for good. And it starts with an evaluation. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
In our funeral announcements this morning, Janet Krause, age 75, of West Des Moines, died Sunday. Funeral services for Janet Krause will be held today at 10:30 at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Des Moines. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart is in charge of the arrangements. Hector Rodriguez, age 29, of Loveland, Colorado, and formerly of Coon Rapids, died Sunday. Funeral services for Hector Rodriguez will be today at 10:30 at the Annunciation Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Savannah Cannon, age 28, of Atlantic and formerly of Afton, died last Friday. Memorial services for Savannah Cannon will be this evening at 6 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Norman Kreese, age 81, of Coon Rapids and formerly of Bayard, died Monday in Carroll. Funeral services for Norman Kreese will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Bayard. Odie Funeral Home in Bayard has arrangements. Charlotte Stewart, age 88, of Avoca, died Monday. A massive Christian burial service for Charlotte Stewart will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Marie Bruce, age 100, of Manila, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Marie Bruce will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Corinne Shuey, age 88, of Avoca, died Saturday. Funeral services for Corinne Shuey will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Shelby Methodist Church in Shelby. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Richard Lee Norton, Sr., age 67, of Linden, died Wednesday. Memorial services for Richard Norton, Sr. will be on Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Joyce Stanley, age 81, of Casey, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Memorial services for Joyce Stanley will be Monday at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Dexter. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. And Joanne Jody Henningsen, age 82, a longtime Atlantic resident, died Wednesday at the Heritage House. Memorial services for Jody Henningsen will be held Tuesday at 1 o'clock at the First United Presbyterian Church in Atlantic. The family will also hold a celebration of life service at the Atlantic Golf and Country Club after the memorial service. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.